button. Here we go. So, welcome. I have a little small sharing I'd like to offer to you guys this morning. It's about four men in the Bible, two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, a couple of kings, and a couple of apostles. But before we start, I want to just mention, last weekend we did that barbecue at the Hospitality Point. That was such a joy to stand there and grill up that stuff and get the smoke in my eyes and get that smell over me. And Al and I just had a blast doing that. So thank you for coming, those that you that came. But I must offer an apology. I failed on the tortillas. And I failed because I didn't listen. I was told to, test out that theory I had, which was to put them all in the foil package and just toss them on the grill and get them warmed up, because it takes too long to heat up 50, 60 tortillas, right? So that was my big idea. Well, it failed because I didn't listen to my wife. So let that be a lesson to you guys. Sometimes your wife is right, okay? So next time I will pay attention. So, and that's really what this sharing is about today is, listening and making wise choices. We all have choices to make, and we all have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we want to make, right decisions, right choices, because when we do, we have a happy ending, right? When we don't, things don't go so well, right? So I'd like to begin this morning in the Old Testament. We're going to start with the two Old Testament kings. The first one's going to be King Jehoshaphat, and the second one's going to be King David. And these are familiar records, familiar verses to you. So I'll call it, we're going to be sticking along the shoreline. We're not going to be moving out into uncharted waters where it's like rough and wild. It's going to be very simple, very easy to get this stuff. So it's going to be good. So first king, King Jehoshaphat, okay? He is a pretty cool guy. So he is going to be, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to start out just a couple of verses here. So who knows who King Jehoshaphat was? What was he the king of? Anybody know? King of Judah. All right, so in verse 1 of chapter 20, it says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Verse 2. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and this side Syria. And behold, they in Hazakontamar, which is in En-Gedi. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." So these three basically big armies were going to just invade and wipe out the kingdom, okay? And Jehoshaphat was like, "What do I do?" But what did he do? He sought the Lord. That's a key in this whole thing. Take a look at verse 14. Just a page over here. So we'll see how this unfolds. So something miraculous just happens here. Check this out. Verse 14. "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." Listen to this. "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat." Make sure he gets his name in there. "Thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." What a relief! Can you imagine how he felt hearing that? He felt fantastic, of course. So then the prophet begins to explain what to do and how to do it and set up singers and how the Lord's going to just take care of these people and they got nothing to worry about. And that's how it unfolds. And take a look at verse 17. It's amazing. Says, ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell up before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Pretty miraculous. So, nothing to fear. But what did he do first? Sought the Lord. And why did he seek the Lord? It was because he really didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. Take a look at verse 24. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth. None of them escaped. So these three armies basically wipe each other out. You know, God set up ambushments against the other armies, and they all killed each other. There was nobody alive. It was just, they're all wiped out. And take a look at verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And it took them a while to do all this. It says they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. That's amazing. So not only did he listen to what God told him to do, the ending was he got all the stuff, right? Wealth, prosperity. That's how they got this stuff. It's amazing. So he listened to God. He did what he was told to do. But, you know, he had a choice. He could have freaked out and, you know, not listened to the prophet, right? Oh, that doesn't make any sense. How can them singers do that? It just says that doesn't make sense. You see, a lot of times things don't make sense to our minds because God's got a whole other plan. Well, let's take a look at King David. King David is a cool king. And we're going to look at his little section here in 2 Samuel. And we're going to go to chapter 11. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. So here's our second king we're going to look at today. And he had a little different, this record just kind of turns out a little bit differently. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2, and it came to pass at eveningtide that David arose among his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was beautiful to look upon. Familiar record, right? And David's like, who is this beautiful lady? Let's find out, right? So he wanted to find out who she was. So verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? The wife of Uriah. Okay, the lady's married. Okay, well, never mind then. No, that's not what happens. Look at verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and he came unto her, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And verse 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. The king got some lady pregnant that's married. That's not good. But the king's got a plan. The king's smart. King David, he's a smart guy. He comes up with this plan to get it all figured out, right? Because her husband is in the battle. So he's like, I'm going to bring him back and then, hook him up with his wife and everything will be good, right? Because no one will know. Well, his plan backfires, okay? He got him home, but he never went to his house. He never met up with his wife. He never slept with his wife. And it didn't work out right. His plan backfired. So he has to come up with a plan B. And plan B wasn't that good either. But let's check out what plan B was. Look at verse 14. This is what he decides to do. King David, okay? Verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And 15. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire from him, that he might be smitten and die. That was his plan B. Well, I'll just kill the guy. Right? So he made a poor choice, obviously. And he's trying to backpedal and just get out of the mess he made for himself. The point is, we don't ever want to be in that situation, you know? So it's very clear here that the message is, don't mess with the married women, okay? So, but seriously, the lady, Bathsheba, had a son, and it died. And then the next son she had was Solomon, right? So, Solomon. But he made a poor choice. And he was thinking his choices were based on looking at this beautiful woman. And being the king, you can have anything you want, right? So, but that overtook his, real good judgment to just do what he wanted to do. So that's our two kings I want to look at. I want to take a look at a couple of apostles now. See what kind of choices they make and what the outcome was. Let's look at Peter, the apostle Peter, and we're going to start in Acts. We're going to go to chapter 10, and we're going to start off in verse 1. And Peter was one of the cool apostles. I like reading about Peter. He, I think, is like just a go-getter kind of guy, Very meek, very energetic, I think. But I think he's very rigid in his believing, He wanted to do things just right. So we're going to start off in verse 1. Did I say X? I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming down unto him and saying unto Cornelius, verse 4, and when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms have come up before a memorial for God. And now send men to Joppa and call for a one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges one with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So that's what this guy does. He gets some guys together, goes over to Peter's house. It's a distance away. So they get there, and while all this is happening, Peter's on his rooftop praying. And God, if you remember, has this sheet come down from heaven, and all these creatures are on the sheet, right? Four-footed beast of the field, all the fowls of the air. And God says, kill and eat, because he was hungry. Kill and eat, Peter. And God says, Peter says, oh, no. Not me. Nothing as unclean has ever entered into my mouth. Well, this happened three times, this vision he saw. And as you see in this vision, the guys are at his door, knocking on the door, asking for him. And we're going to pick it up, that section up in, let's see, what verse is that? 19, I think it is. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So, what's he do? He does exactly what God asks him to do. It's amazing. And, you know, Cornelius is not a Jew. He's a Gentile, right? So, basically what God's asking him to do is not something you're supposed to do. Let's pick up the rest of the record here. We're going to look at, verse 34. And it explains this. I'm sorry, verse 28 first. And he said unto these, so these guys that came over, he said unto them, you know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's what God was showing him in this vision, preparing him for what's to come. And what's to come is the gift of the Holy Spirit is about ready to be poured out onto the Gentiles, which is huge. So now let's pick it up a little bit later and go to verse 34. It says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I mean, that's huge, because before it wasn't everybody. It was just Israel, right? Take a look at verse 44. So Peter begins to preach Christ unto all these people here that Cornelius had set up at his house. He starts preaching Christ and the resurrection and all the things that he'd been talking about all along in this certain situation. And take a look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that which heard the word. Wow. And verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. And here's how they knew. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's huge. Imagine if Peter didn't do what God had asked him to do. Maybe someone else would, you know, step in later and take care of what God asked them to do and make this event happen. Yeah, I'm sure that probably would have happened. But maybe not. It has some kind of impact. I mean, the choices that we make and the decisions that we make have a lasting impact, whether it be really good or not really good, right? So we want to make really good choices, and we want to listen to God. So let's take a look at another guy. His name is Paul. And Paul, of course, is an apostle. And we're going to pick him up in Acts 21. From what I understand, Paul wrote a lot of the books of the Bible. And Paul was like a go-getter, get it done, bulldoze through it, right? He was the kind of guy like that, I think. So let's take a look at verse number 10 in chapter 21. getting the right page here. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when it was come to, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and he shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles." See, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem. And earlier in this chapter, they're like, no, you shouldn't go, you shouldn't go. And then this prophet shows up and tells him, hey, you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you. Right? So what's he say? Okay, I'll stick around here. Nah, that's not what happened. Because that's not the kind of guy Paul was. He was just, let's go do it. Right? Take a look at verse... I want to actually keep going a little bit further. Where was I? Okay, then Paul answered. And this is kind of giving an idea of what Paul's like. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready to die." I am ready not to be bound only, but to also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." We're not going to change his mind. So he went. And some not so good things happened later. Take a look at verse 30. And all the city was moved. This is Jerusalem. All the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band, and all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief of captain of the soldiers, they left beating Paul. So they were beating him up. And if you read later, he gets thrown in prison, and he's there for a long time. And it was all because he didn't listen to God. He got the information. He was told what to do. You know, just like Peter did. He was told what to do. But, you know, Peter listened. Paul had his own agenda, right? And two very different outcomes. So, you know, we're just looking at a couple of guys here and their choices that they made and the impact it had for a long time. You know, we all have decisions to make, whether we're born again yesterday or we're born again years ago. We all have this battle that's going in our minds with, you know, what to do. And it's not like, you know, we're going to make this choice or that choice. It's really about walking by the Spirit. And it's all about, you know, do I cave to the flesh and do what my flesh wants me to do? Or do I listen to God? Or do I carry out the things that God asked me to do? The key is here, we don't have to figure it all out on our own. We've got the gift of Holy Spirit, right? Just like these guys. You know, in the New Testament, they had the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they had prophets to tell them what to do, or they had the Spirit upon them to get that communication going. You know, we're all in the body of Christ. We all are members in particular, and we all have something to do, something to contribute for the movement of the gospel of Christ. You know, some have different things. We all have different things to do. God hasn't called us to do the same thing for everybody, right? And it's really about doing what God asks us to do and doing it with a loving, obedient heart, you know, just like Peter did. You know, who's that person in the Bible where it's like, "Here I am, send me, Lord." Remember that? I always think of that. You know, and I'm sure we all have examples that we can share that of times that we just totally blew it, and God said to do this, and we did the totally opposite thing. We probably all have stories like that we could share. And perhaps we all have stories of, you know, great victories where we said, you know, I went to God for help. I didn't know what to do, and he told me to do this. And look what happened. This awesome thing happened, you know. Those are the kind of stories you want to have more of, right? So it's really about, you know, walking by the Spirit, getting really tuned into the sound of God's voice. Sometimes it's just a little, don't go over there, a little whisper. Sometimes it's, you know, perhaps a little louder, you know, because we're not listening. But we all want to be in that place where, you know, that sweet spot where you are listening and obeying, and because you're going to have a great result. You're going to have a happy ending is what I'll call it. And you won't have to try and figure out some plan to mop it up, you know? So that's really my sharing I want to give with you guys today. And I think it would be appropriate if I could just pray maybe right now. So thanks, God, for these wonderful examples of men in the Bible that we can learn about and enjoy the truths of your word, and we can learn from examples that really carried out the things that you'd have them to do, like Peter. And what a magnificent joy that must have been, Father, to see all that unfold. And we're just here in San Diego right now, God, and we just ask that you would just show us the things that you'd have us to do. And we just come to you with an open heart, God, and an eager, meek heart, and we're ready to receive. And you just show us the next thing we need to do in our lives, wherever that might be. And, you know, it's like you said, nothing's too hard for you. And we just have the Spirit of God to carry out the things that you would ask us to do, because we can. We have the ability. We have God in Christ in us. So thank you, God, for this morning, and we just praise your name and look forward to the next thing you have in store for us. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.